I have clicked record on Audacity. What does your voice sound like today, Joe? Young Joe?
Hi, Mom.
Pretty good. Hi, Mom. Welcome, ladies. I didn't say ladies and gentlemen. I just said ladies. Mom, specifically. Welcome to the Mother's Day episode here on Jobacon. My name's Jason Mark, and in with me, and with me in, also with us, today we have, as always, Joe Neal, my brother from another mother, but the same grandmother. And aren't all grandmothers basically mothers when you think about it? When you really put two and two together, you get four. Grandmothers are mothers too. This could be Grandmother's Day, it could be Great Grandmother's Day, but you know what it is? It's JBC Mother's Day. The mother of all podcasts is out there somewhere. I'm sure it's not ours, but it's there. And we want to say Happy Mother's Day to that podcast as well. But mostly we want to say Happy Mother's Day to, well, to moms, really. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. You just made me realize 2 and 2 equals 4. I was counting them up. I really have 4 moms.
All right, let's hear it.
I've got my main mom.
And that's your biological mother?
Yeah, my biological mother.
Who's into jazzercise. This is how I'm going to identify them for people. Jazzercise mom? Okay.
Sure, sure. Well, her name is Karen Joe Mama Michaels.
Okay.
She used to be Karen Christ, but, you know.
Yeah.
She took her newest last name she got from her husband.
Yeah.
She used to be Karen Christ long ago.
Yep. KC, we called her.
I still consider her a part of the Christ family.
I do, too.
And
always happy to see KC.
Yeah. And speaking of Christ, I've got another mom, Carrie, the triple threat Christ.
That's right.
Carrie, triple threat Christ.
Yep.
She's a triple threat because she's beautiful and smart and funny.
Yep, she is. She's CC. We call her CC, Carrie Christ. And if you want to remember her, she's into the Broncos. So you got jazzercise mom, Broncos mom.
She's also into Mraz, but Mraz mom is hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Mraz mom. Mrazmataz mom.
And then I've got...
yeah, move on.
Well, then I've got... I don't like the term stepmom anyway. And I don't like the term mother-in-law either.
Okay.
But Laura Pauline Christ, mom.
LPC?
Yeah, her mom is Simply Susan.
Simply Susan, yeah, SSC. Yep.
And she like is great. Yeah.
No, she's not SSC. She's, what's her, you don't tell me what her last name is. We'll just call her SS.
Like I said, Simply Susan.
Can't call her SS because that's too Nazi-like. What's she into? We got jazzercise and Broncos. How are we going to remember Simply Susan?
You know, she was a school principal.
Ooh, awesome.
She was laying down the law
To
a bunch of snot-nosed punks.
I bet she was putting the pal in principal. Principal. She was a princess of pal. She was a princessable. Yeah. Right? Because she's a princess. She's a queen. Okay, and who's the fourth mom?
The fourth mom, I guess technically, is my stepmother-in-law.
Gotcha.
That's Laura Pauline Christ's dad's wife.
Word. What's her name?
Her name is Lee.
Lee. Mm-hmm. And what's she into?
What is she into?
Yeah.
She's into real estate.
All right.
Finances.
I like that.
She's super smart.
She's cash mom. All your moms are smart, right? I mean, in their own way.
Oh, yeah.
All moms are smart.
I'll get into it a little bit later, but it's, you know.
All moms are smart.
Well, I think my mom is a genius, and you'll hear why. We'll get into that.
No, my mom, I only got the, I guess, you know, for count in-laws, I got the two moms. I got Nancy Christ, who, gosh, what's she into? What's she not into? I mean.
I know, I am very close with Nancy Christ.
Yeah.
I think she's a great lady. I'm privileged to spend time with her often.
She's she's got a degree in Spanish, speaks Spanish. She's got a degree in photojournalism. She's a brilliant photographer, award-winning. She can knit like a, or crochet, excuse me. She can crochet like a bandit. And
I'd like to tell you that right now, my laptop is sitting on two big fluffy doilies knitted by your mother. I've got a cup of coffee here on a coaster knitted by your mom.
And
then I've got backup Diet Dr. Peppers. They're all on their own Nancy Christ doilies.
Yeah. That just to be clear, you know, I'm going to be pedantic for my mother's sake because she, amongst other things, is a grammarian. And so even though this isn't grammar, she does she doesn't insist. She's not a jerk about it, but she will remind you of appropriate nomenclature when it's contextually comfortable to
swallow. I was worried about my nomenclature. Did I get I need correction? Tell me what's up.
None of those things that you have were knitted. They were crocheted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Crocheted. No, it's I mean, honestly, if you say knit and someone's looking at it and they don't know the difference, it's fine. I mean, you could say that knit is it's sort of all encompassing. Let's take yarn and put it together in a creative way to make a thing. And crochet is one way of doing that, you could say. So that's my mom. So yeah, Nancy Christ or NC or Nancy.
I've seen her yarn room.
Mm-hmm. She has a yarn room.
It's awesome.
She has a whole room.
It puts LP in awe.
Yeah. And then
I think LP is going to end up following in your mom's footsteps and becoming a crocheter at some point.
I wonder if it's crocheter or is it a crocheteer? Or crocheterian? Crochetress? No. Crochetus? No. Anyway.
Usually this would be my cue to say some stupid word that I just made up. I got nothing.
No, it's fine. That's fine.
I was saying that she was knitting, so I've
no, you're fine, dude. You're totally fine. Okay, last mom on my side
tell
is,
me about more moms.
Of course, Allison's mother. Who is
Allison Christ.
Allison Christ, yeah. Her mother's name is, let's think of something. Her name is Goody. I call her Goody. Yeah, her name's Goody. I like that. Goody is, she was an accountant. So just like one of your moms, Joe, she was an accountant. She is a really good cook. She's got that going for her. And she sings.
Oh, she's a singer.
She sings, yeah. On very rare occasions, you got to get her in the right mood. It has to be quasi-spiritual moment. She's not just going to, like, break out and sing, you know, Uptown Funk. It needs to be a quasi-spiritual context. But those are our six moms. Should I call that our episode? Okay, let me ask you a question, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing a show about moms? Or are we doing a show about a thing for our moms?
Well, as we were exploring how to approach this show, I think we both landed on food as a good thing to kind of dance around and, you know, talk about. Because moms, when I think of moms, I think of food. My mom cooked me wonderful stuff throughout my whole childhood. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Moms and food just go together in
Makes
my
sense,
mind.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good thing.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if you have any mom food stories.
Not that I can think. Okay. Well, so I think like there are signature dishes. You tell me if your moms have these dishes. Like, I remember when I was a kid, and I haven't had it since, Spanish rice.
Mm.
Do you remember back in the day, there would be these little tabletop, skillets. They're square, and you plug them in, and they just sit there. They don't go on the stove. They just go wherever you got to plug in. What were they called?
Griddles
or something?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So
maybe they are called griddles.
She'd fill that sucker up with the ingredients, and we'd have some Spanish rice. Also, she's famous for her potato salad. And no, you have not had the world's best potato salad. If you haven't had my mom's, and I'm not exaggerating, and this isn't like bias, this is the literal truth. It's in the Bible. My mom's potato salad is the best potato salad. She got the recipe from her own mom, who probably got the recipe from her mom, who probably got it from Jesus, who probably got it from God. So it goes,
yes,
God,
handed
Jesus,
down recipes.
Yeah. How about your mom? Does she got a signature recipe?
Well, first, I just wanted to say, Spanish rice from Nancy Christ.
That would be such a great, like, package. You know, like you put it on a package and sell it in stores. Spanish Christ from Nancy Christ.
You could make a quick jingle just at the end of any commercial. You could just be like, Spanish rice by Nancy Christ.
That's so awesome. So
I had to put a couple of S's in there just because the syllables didn't work out otherwise.
Oh, no,
anyway,
that's so fine, yeah.
I'm a jingle meister.
Jingle meister. What's Karen Christ's?
Karen Jo Mama.
Yeah, that's right.
Karen Jo Mama Michaels.
Karen Jo Mama Michaels.
That's her. Of course, her nickname is Jo Mama because she's Joe's mama.
Boom. I'm
sure you already figured that out.
I didn't.
She has a couple of recipes that have been handed down, I think, from ancient times.
Yeah.
From grandma to granddaughter is how these things trickle down the generations.
Skips a generation like superpowers. Like if you're born with the ability to turn your fingers into ants.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd want to be able to do that, but you didn't get it from your parents, you got it from your grandparents, who got it from theirs.
Yeah, these recipes, if I understand correctly, skipped generations. I don't think my grandma was interested in these things. But what I'm talking about is, one, the chili. Mm. My mom makes a chili.
Mm.
I make my own version of it now because she taught me how to put it together. And it's perfect. It's so good. And I think that she got that from one of her grandmas.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I know, I'm pretty sure that my favorite dessert ever, I'm going to go ahead and say it's the best dessert ever on the planet.
All right. I can challenge you on that one, but let's go. Yeah. What is it?
It's my mom's chocolate birthday sheet cake.
Boom. I cannot challenge you because that is correct.
Now, I don't know if you ever, you maybe never had that.
I have cousins that
have eaten this cake, and it was just on my birthday only. I didn't get it otherwise. And it's, you put it in a cookie sheet.
Yeah.
So I have not learned this recipe. Mom hasn't taught me this yet. But you have to do it just right.
Yeah.
And or the entire thing tastes like crap and it flattens, and so it's really thin, and then you put, she made her own icing too, and you put the icing across it.
Yeah.
And then this is an important component. She would put these little, you know, those little sugar, like hard sugar. I'm drooling just thinking about
this. But I am too.
The little dried sugar alphabet, you know, letters, and spell happy birthday Joey on there.
Yeah, with they were like bumpy, right? They're made up lots of little bumps. They weren't smooth.
And
it
was just, it was like street crack. And I would, you know, there's the happy birthday Joey is on there, but like I would lose control eating that cake.
Yeah.
Just start gobbling it, grabbing it with my hands and stuffing it in my face. And I would get the rest of the alphabet, you know, it's just sitting over there in a bag, and I'd just grab it and start, you know.
Yeah, it's your birthday, you do what you want.
Spelling nonsense on it just so I could, you know, grab another slice and go for it.
You should had her, like, put not just happy birthday, but happy birthday, my darling Joseph Neal. Like, there's more letters, and then you can eat more of it, right? Ma, you need to get three or four bags of these.
I think she knew that I would just, you know,
go for
start
it.
Randomly putting letters on the brown pieces.
Yeah.
Anyway, it scrambles my brain just thinking about it. You know why? Because I haven't had it in a long time. And I, I don't know why. It's not. I don't feel neglected by my mom, but no. it was a every year thing all the way through my childhood, and I think into my late teens until I left the house.
Well,
I got it every year, and I got it a few years when I would go back and visit, but it's been a long time, and I yearn.
Yeah, your birthday's at a difficult time of year to visit, so it's not your fault. I can definitely, like, mine is too. Like, usually my birthday, now I'm in an older age, gets sort of recognized around the same time as Thanksgiving. Yours gets recognized around the same time as Christmas. It's not like it stands out, right? It's not like, if you have an August birthday, that's all that's going on. No one's doing anything else. Your birthday is boom. But if you got a late December birthday, or, you know, God forbid your birthday's in the middle of March, like, hello, St. Patrick's Day for your birthday.
Well, you know what, man? I grew up, you know, down on Payne Street
in Sevierville,
Tennessee.
Yeah.
And we were not well off, but my mom never tried to, you know, mix my birthday. I did have a holiday birthday, and she would try. She would never try to, like, mix those two together. I always got Christmas presents, and then I got my birthday presents.
Right, right. No, I'm not trying to suggest.
And then the sheet cake was just for the birthday.
Okay.
And wasn't a Christmas cake, and she's like, and that's for your birthday, too. How you like that?
No, that's not what I'm.
She's classy that way. She still is classy.
She's very classy. I mean, God, she did jazzercise, for crying out loud. And I'm not being sarcastic. That's classy. If you don't know what jazzercise is, you millennials listening to this podcast with your youth and your crap, jazzercise was in the 70s/80s what Zumba is today. All right. It's a bunch of ladies in leotards. And this is back in the day when a leotard was like from ankle to neck, right? Or something. And they would do aerobics, but they're dancing to I don't know what kind of music it was. I'm going to assume it was a sort of an upbeat, more white jazz. But anyway,
yeah, no, it was your mom's a lot of fun. Now, my mom didn't just do jazzercise.
No, she was an instructor. Look, this is but I don't want to distract us because we're talking about food. I did not mean to suggest, Joe, in any way that your mom would lump your birthday with a holiday. What I mean to say is, as you got older, you had fewer opportunities to go visit your mom just for your own birthday because you were already traveling for the holidays, right?
Yeah,
it was tough to – so that's why you haven't had the cake for a while. I totally get where you're coming from. And I'm sad for you. I'm literally crying right now. I'm bawling. Can you see my face? It's just – I'm puffy. My eyes are puffy. My hands are shaking. I need a Kleenex.
Yeah, you look like hell.
Yeah, I am sobbing.
You should call your mom.
I'm probably going to call my mom. We can talk about moms and food, or we can just talk about food. I did open today a box of mini crackers because I was hungry. And it's like the Keebler Elves little mini crackers, right? And on the box it said perfect size for snacking, right? And I'm thinking, who's not snacking when they eat crackers? I mean, how is a cracker not a snack food? Even if it's big, like here's a mega cracker. It's as big as your head. It's still not a meal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, yeah. So I saw that and I was a little bit mad. And, you know, I used to do stand up. I got a lot of jokes about how stupid food is. If you want to hear some of them, you probably heard.
I've heard some of your food jokes.
Yeah.
I know this is a Mother's Day special, but my favorite food joke ever.
Yeah.
I've said this on the show before, but
that's okay.
I can't help it. I just love it. Your dad, you know, that he does stand up.
I knew
very
that,
funny guy. He's been on the show several times, and he would try out jokes on me. He still does,
yeah,
you know, from time to time. But, you know, we were in a car or something, driving around or waiting for my dad. My dad was in the grocery store or something, sitting in a car, and he's sitting there with a little notepad, and he goes, "All right, try this one on for size. It is a pancake-flavored coffee." I said, "Yeah?" And he goes, "Flappuccino." And I said, "That's great." And I remember it to this very day, and I think at this point he thinks that it was a joke that I thought up, which
he does which that is a just lot.
That's a problem with his memory. He's written millions of jokes.
Yeah.
Somehow I think he's attributed that one to me. I would love to take credit, but Flappuccino is all your dad. Anyway, enough about Danger Lee Daniels. You're talking about stupid food jokes.
No, well, my jokes are stupid, but I was talking about jokes about stupid food. I mean, like, I got a joke about...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Can I hear some of your stupid jokes about good food? How about that?
Golly, no. I don't have any... all of my jokes are about... Because I had one about how I went to the store and I saw a bottle of... I think I've told this one on the cast before. I saw a bottle of sugar-free, caffeine-free Mountain Dew. It was in the what the heck's the point section of the grocery store, you know, right next to the sugarless gum. Who's getting cavities from gum, right? Right? No, wait, that's I screwed up my own joke. It's like, who's getting fat from gum? Who needs a sugar-free gum? That's the – of course, people get cavities from gum. That's the whole point. Ah, I screwed it up. No, who's getting fat from gum?
That food is stupid.
It's stupid. And the Weight Watchers brownies, which is like, you know, it's like methadone for fat people. And it doesn't work. I ate three boxes the other day. I gained 4 pounds. So,
I'm going to say Weight Watchers. Yeah. You just watch yourself gain weight.
Exactly. And then, you know, speaking of Weight Watchers, I ate some diet. No, what? How does this joke go? God, I'm gold. I ate some Chinese lean cuisine, but an hour later I was fat again. Because, again, millennials maybe wouldn't get that joke because it used to be that people would make fun of Chinese food and say you eat it and an hour later you're hungry again. This is an early
Yeah.
I like explaining jokes to people. It makes it way more funny. So,
well, and I've heard that there's scientific basis to that now because there's so many carbs apparently in Chinese food.
I don't know.
Carbs create a craving for more carbs.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe that's bullshit. Probably
is. It could be. I don't know. But anyway, that's that. Do you have a food story? I mean, you've told some food. You know what I want to do? I want to talk this. You mentioned chili before. Oh, I haven't had good chili in a long time. Okay, that's not true. My wife makes chili all the time, and it's really good. But not the kind of chili I'm thinking of, which is just... I mean, tell me about your mom's chili. What is it? What's it got going for it? What's in there?
It's been a while since I've put it together, but it's interesting because you put a little bit of sugar in there. Mm-hmm. There's tomato paste, peppers, beans, beef, and it's really the combination. One, she cooks it for a really long time, and it's the ratios that make it perfect. And then you can kind of mess around with the spice, and I would always put in habaneros, try to make it really hot, and the flavor of her chili. If you add in habaneros, it gives it – the flavor really, really fits.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Now, see, that's my mom's wonderful chili.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, and I've told this story before, my dad would just feed me Hormel chili, make me a chocolate shake, and then I would barf and he would laugh.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to – in the world of chili, my mom treated me much better than my father did.
Yeah.
So kudos to mom and her wonderful homemade chili.
Yeah. I have a dumb chili story. Again, I may have told this before, but this is episode 115. So you know what? If I'm starting to repeat myself, I'm glad we made it this far. But there's a bar in the town that I live in, and I forget what it's called, but it had a sign that said homemade chili. Okay. And so one day I was craving chili. And, I mean, this was not a sign that, like, you put up the letters. This is a permanent sign. Some dude paid somebody to create this sign, right? And on their website, you go and it's like, hey, we have beer and spirits and chili. And that's it. You go in there and you say, I want a hot dog. Nope. Okay, can I get some fries? Well, how about a filet mignon? I don't think so, sir. It's just chili. That's it, right? And I think there was a law once. And maybe there still is about how, like, if you're a certain kind of bar, you have to serve food. You can't just serve just liquor. You have to have food on offer.
Yeah, there's some licensing
criteria
there.
I think something about that. And so
they were like, we'll just make shitloads of chili.
Yeah, we'll just make
and
chili.
And that covers our ass.
Yeah, and I was really craving it. So I'm thinking, if this is the only thing they do... It must be amazing, and you know where this story is going, right? I walk in there, I'm like, "Hey, I like a beer and a bowl of chili," and I knew not to say what kind of chili you got? Or I'll take a large bowl or small bowl. I knew it was just chili, $3.95. Boom, that's it, right? Whatever it was. So they bring me my beer, and I take a sip. It's good beer. They bring me the chili. Okay, first of all, it looked like soup, okay? If you can't stand up your fork in chili, it's not chili, it's soup. Is your mom's yes. chili, Joe, is it chili or is it soup?
It's chili, dude.
It's chili, right. This was like meaty bean soup. So I figure, well, okay, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. It's probably a joke in there, something about books and cookbooks and forks and stuff. I don't know. But anyway, so I took a bite, and nope, it was terrible. It was really awful. The meat and the beans, just they weren't friends. Maybe they used to be friends, but they had a falling out. Now they're just giving each other cold shoulder. There were some spices in there, but they were like gorilla spices. You know, they'd hit and they'd run away. Like, wait, what was that? I needed some more. And then it was just, ugh. And it was watery, and ugh. And that
there's
I'm
like
happy
emotional dysregulation and you know conflict.
Yeah.
In and that chili.
It was
can
not
you taste it?
It was not chili. It was a travesty. And I'm happy to tell you that bar is no more. It got closed down a few years ago. I don't know how long it had been in business before that, but it is no more now. So justice has been served in a big bowl of chili. Yeah. Anyway,
does your mom make chili?
My mom makes everything. But I'm sure this is also the case for you. My pops, he likes to cook as well. So I think chili was usually his domain. Now, I'm hoping mom will listen to this episode. So right now she's probably screaming, "You don't remember the chili I made back in 1976? It won awards." That's not how my mom talks, but you know.
I was going to say, that was a very poor impersonation of Nancy Christ.
That was not good, yeah. Okay, maybe I don't remember, but for my mom, it was the Spanish rice and the potato salad. So if I can't remember the chili, it's because those two were just too good.
Now, I have had your mom's potato salad.
Yeah.
And I do remember it as the superior.
It's just, yeah.
Of all. Potato salad.
If somebody wanted to say, well, no, but this one's the best because it won an awards, there's a panel of judges, right? I would say, okay, all right, right. Tell you what. You can call that crap potato salad. We're going to call what my mom makes something else because it's so far superior. Because it's like, you know, like if I were to compare, say, who's a really famous mother in history?
I'm drawing a blank. All I could come up with was Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, I know.
That's terrible.
I'm trying to think of like just a famous, like she was just so.
I think that was Joan Crawford, by the way.
Yeah.
She was a terrible mom. She was such a terrible mom that Faye Dunaway had to play her. Had to. probably think she won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
But she was such a bad mom that Faye Dunaway had to like channel pure evil in order to play the role correctly.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Anyway, enough about shitty moms.
Yeah. Well, this is the point. I'm really going to belabor this analogy because I love belabored analogies. I'm doing a search for famous moms so I can make this terrible because it's overwrought now. 49 great moms in history who more than left their mark. Let's see. Mary
Courtney
Curie,
Love.
Mary Tyler Moore. J.K. Rowling. Benazir Bhutto, but these are women who are accomplished by their own merits, not for being a mom.
You're looking for a famous mom that's famous for being a famous person's mom?
No, I'm looking for a mom who is famous enough that she quantified mominess. Like when you think of like, oh no, that was a great mom. Maybe
talk
that's
about
the thing.
Quantified mominess. How about yeah. Octomom?
Well, I mean, that quantifies a kind of fertility, I guess, but I'm not going to be able to find what I'm looking
Count
for.
Count them, eight. It's quantified. Quantified the children.
Didn't get it before, but now I do. You're hilarious.
I'm totally crapping all over whatever point you're trying to make. Well, I realize.
It's just so stupid now, but I'm going to go ahead and with it. It's like I was trying to say that if you want to call your potato salad the best out of all the others, that's because it's it's the best of its ilk. And my mom potato salad is of a different ilk. My mom is the Mona Lisa. Her potato salad is Mona Lisa, and your potato salad is street art. All right. And yeah, there's some really great street art out there. Oh, I love that, you know, mural you made of the soda can, copulating with a pelican, whatever. Yeah, it's brilliant, but it's not in the Louvre like my mom's potato salad is. That's what I'm getting at. Okay?
It's your mom makes potato salad.
Yeah, she makes potato salad. Mm-hmm. Wait, wasn't potato salad a
potato salad?
Well, yeah, wasn't he a Middle Eastern revolutionary back in the 13th?
Potato salad by Nancy Christ.
All right. Hey, on that note, we're at the halfway mark. And I know we're talking about food and stuff, but I have a Larco ad that has nothing to do with food, but it does have something to do with one of my mom's interests. So,
we got to pay for this Mother's Day special.
And I know you got some stuff as well. So, mm-hmm. Who's going to go first? Or unless you don't want to do this now, we can do it later.
I am excited to hear a Larco.
It's been a while. It's been three episodes.
A Mother's Day Larco sounds like just the thing.
Okay. So, I knew we were going to do a mother's thing, something about our moms. So, I called up the Larco boys and I said, hey, romance novel series you guys are working on, do you have any, like, you want me to do an ad for that? And like, they're like, no, it's don't need to. This stuff sells itself. It just... Really, they don't need to advertise it because they can't print the copies fast enough. And I told them my mom's really likes to read a lot. She's probably read more books than any other human being on the planet. She will read literally. I'm not making this up. But she'll read three books in a day. And granted, these are not, you know, War and Peace size books. Nor will she ever tell you that these are great. This is great literature that she's plowing through. Right? She knows better than to skim. You know, Anna Karenina, but she likes romance novels, and she'll burn through three of them in a day. So,
Your mom has you beat. I thought you were like the most voracious reader of all time, but mom is even more hardcore. Okay.
She's I'm a pig, and she's a T-Rex. No, that didn't make sense. Anyway, I got them to write an ad and send it over, and I'm going to read it now. It's a little bit long, and I apologize for that in advance. Okay, so you ready? Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. I'll turn off the music. Okay.
Can you walk me through it?
I'm going to walk you through it. Right. Larco proudly presents Calliope Romance, our new book series guaranteed to make you resent your lazy slob of a husband more than you already do. Here is an excerpt from Catherine McRobin St. James' latest novel, Aprons and Sensitivity. Jackson Kindbaby looked at Velma Power Trousers. He gazed at her with a gaze that had never gazed at anything so gazefully. Like a gazelle, gazing at a particularly tasty but tough blade of savanna grass. Velma Power Trousers looked at Jackson Kindbaby as if he were a freshly emptied dishwasher. So clean, so sparkly, so useful. Velma was a woman with needs. Vacuuming needs, small appliance repairs, dinner prep. And Jackson had needs, too, a need to share his feelings, to be vulnerable in a manly way. He held up a damp rag, damp like it had been dipped in water, a rag like it had been a T-shirt once, up like it was higher than when he had first held it. He was a conductor of cleaning cloths, and the rag was his Mozart, or maybe Haydn. "That's the banister dusted," Jackson said, his manly growl dripping with his love of doing chores. "Really?" Velma replied. "I'm ever so grateful. I'm almost afraid to ask." Jackson smiled the smile of a man who knows he's got zygomaticus majors and he's not afraid to use them. "Don't bother, because the answer's yes." He ran his hands through his reasonably priced haircut. "I made sure the bottom of the banister was dusted, too." Velma bit her lip. Pink lips. That kind that like to wrap themselves around the end of a pen while deciding what to write next on her honeydew list. Her eyes ran down the length of Jackson's body. "What am I even looking for?" she thought to herself. "Tickets to the scrapbooking fair?" But surely he kept those in his back pocket. She blushed at the thought of what else was near his back pocket. And as if on cue, Jackson walked past her towards the kitchen. Velma spun around, willing to sacrifice the careful equilibrium of her inner ear just for a cheeky glance at his shirt tucked into his pants. Yes, still tucked in. Yes, even in back. Velma gasped inwardly. Jackson stopped, turned, and waited patiently for her coughing fit to pass. "Glass of water, Velms?" he hydrated. "No, I'm fine, thank you." She hated it when he called her that. It's what her father had called her, that bear of a man, helping her with her homework, encouraging her at sports every year, on her birthday gifts. Such selfish generosity. And now he was gone. A solitary tear slowly ran down her cheek, exactly the way a shrieking nude co-ed streaking at a football game wouldn't. Jackson gave her a few moments. He had muffins baking in the oven and needed to call Mrs. Snidey and remind her about the kids' carpool tomorrow. But those things could wait. And so could he. He was good at waiting. Patient. A patient waiter, you could say. In fact, he'd been a waiter in the past, and had even served a doctor one time. He knew there was a joke in there someplace. Life was funny like that. Finally, Velma looked up and giggled maturely at how silly she was. "You thinking about your dad?" Jackson intuited. "I just miss him so much," she sniffled, her nose like a very tiny trumpet that worked by sucking in instead of blowing out. "He's gone," Jackson ellipsed. "Yeah," Velma managed. "Down to the shops. He should be back by dinner." Jackson raised an eyebrow. "He had an old man, once. Still did, in some jurisdictions. All of them, actually. Nice old fella. Liked cats." Jackson hadn't seen him in what felt like days, on account of it having been more than one. Three, to be precise. It tore at Jackson's soul, like a seam ripper rips seams. But Jackson knew better than to make this about him. He did the manliest thing he could do. He just listened. Velma took a deep breath, getting control of herself. No use crying over spilled milk, she thought to herself, not only relying on an overused cliche to self-describe her feelings, but also using the wrong one. She was a fierce, independent woman. Who knew what she wanted? "Yeah," she said again. Jackson slitted his eyes. Without moving a muscle, he seemed to take out a cigarette and pop it between his lips and light it and inhale and then exhale and close one eye against the smoke, none of which he actually did because smoking in the house was really bad for the curtains. Also, Jackson didn't smoke, being addicted to something else altogether, books on feminism. "Your dad sounds like a good man. I respect that," he said. And then all of a sudden, Velma melted into his arms. He got her. He understood, like no man had ever understood her before. She nuzzled into his chest, into the lycra cotton blend, green and white striped polo shirt he was wearing. He smelled so good, a combination of sweat, pledge, Formula 409, and toothpaste. Jackson wrapped himself around her. God, she was a woman, and he was a man. They stood there, cuddling while standing up. He wanted to be strong for her, but he was besieged with doubts. Did he spray every single muffin tin hole with Pam? Did he screw up and toss one of her underwires in the dryer? Did he, oh God, did he leave the toilet seat up? Velma raised her eyes to look at him. "Are you crying?" she queried. "Yes," he lachrymosed. "I just want to be a good man for you, for the world." Velma sighed and buried her face in his chest again. "Oh, Jackson, you're perfect." "What?" he said. "What?" she said. I couldn't hear you. Your voice was muffled in my shirt." "No," Velma said. She stepped out of his embrace. "Nothing." She smiled. "I need to go take a shit." She walked away, hips swaying seductively, or the way they do when you're trying to hold it in. Jackson watched her go and crossed his fingers. "Please, don't let the lid be up," he thought. "Please." That was a reading from Catherine McRobin, St. James's Aprons and Sensitivity, now available from Larko's Calliope Romance Book Series.
Wow. I gotta light a cigarette.
Wow, that's the longest Larko ever, and I both apologize and feel a little bit proud of myself. So
I was entranced. You know?
Yeah.
You know what? I think Nancy's really gonna enjoy it.
I hope so. I really like this Catherine McRobin St. James, if that's her real name. Because you know all those romance writers. They got like a million aliases. Like Danielle Steele. I've never read any of her books, but apparently she's written 179 of them. What? And they're not short little things either. Yeah, I know. Anyway, what do you got?
I haven't even written that many paragraphs.
I don't know why that's a funny sentence, but I just like it. I would put that on a shirt. I haven't even written that many paragraphs.
Well, after hearing that reading, I had to light a cigarette, and then I don't know if you heard, but I did open a Diet Dr. Pepper. You've been getting into Diet Dr. Peppers too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you've always been into them, but I have a cigarette in my left hand and a Diet Dr. Pepper in my right hand. That's in honor of my mom.
Oh, yeah?
Throughout my childhood, she always had a Diet Dr. Pepper and then a Merit Menthol in her left hand. Now, she has quit smoking decades ago, so it's only the Diet Dr. Pepper. No, I don't think she drinks that either. She's got a very healthy diet. I don't think Diet Dr. Pepper fits into that. But I sit here staring at my water heater with a cigarette in one hand and Diet Dr. Pepper in the other. It makes me think of my mom.
Oh, that's sweet. Do you have an advertisement that you could give to your mom right now? What is that? You're not giving her everything. Anyway.
Well, it's – I don't know. I guess it's on theme. I've got a word from our sponsor. You got a little intro for me here?
Yeah, sure. Let's do this.
Betty Crocker's Devil's Food Cake is pretty good chocolate cake, but it's total bullshit compared to my mom's chocolate birthday sheet cake. To tell you the truth, I don't even think the Betty Crocker cake is even worth eating unless my dad makes it, and he feels the need to bang the batter pans loudly on the counter for 5 fucking hours to get all the air out. It's tedious. And even if the cake is baked perfectly and iced with cold-blooded professionalism and precision, I still wouldn't think of consuming it unless you served it in a bowl and poured milk all over it like breakfast cereal. Some would say that's repulsive. My father, in response to this, often looks solemnly away from me toward the horizon with a single tear of shame trickling down his face. But I think putting milk on chocolate cake is genius. In fact, I think my mother is a genius because I got it from her. She taught me this secret when I was a small child, and it is, to this day, in my view, the only proper way to consume Betty Crocker Devil's Food Cake. Some of my fondest memories with my mom involve both of us sitting at a table slopping down chocolate cake drenched in milk as others look on in shock and disgust. In my opinion, it is everyone else on planet Earth besides me and my mother who are disgusting, eating their disgusting dry-ass cake. Anyway, if you're in the mood for some chocolate cake, grab a slice of Betty Crocker's Devil's Food and either throw it in the garbage or pour milk on it, because it is nothing compared to my mom's chocolate birthday sheet cake. Suck it, Betty.
I've never done that before, but I'm going to do it next time I have cake. In fact, I might just go to the grocery store, get one of those one-off pieces, you know, one of those like, hey, you're lonely and depressed, have a piece of cake. Boxes.
In all of our probably 73 and a half hours of face-to-face time in our lives, you never saw me eat a piece of chocolate cake with milk on it?
I can't recall that, no.
The only cake that I really don't want to eat chocolate cake without milk on it, unless it's the sheet cake. So,
oh, okay.
That's how I feel about chocolate cake.
My favorite cake is yellow cake with chocolate frosting. And let's be clear, yellow is not lemon. It's just yellow. But the thought of pouring milk all over it before I eat it, I like that thought.
With yellow cake.
No, it's got to be chocolate?
No. Okay. I'd rather eat dog vomit than put milk on yellow cake. You got to do it with chocolate cake.
Okay. Well, I mean, we there's ice cream in cake, and so it's like, when the ice cream melts a little bit, that's kind of the thing that you're getting with the milk. That makes sense.
I think that's kind of the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So and I mean, people really are astonished at this. And my mom is the only other person I've ever met that does it. In fact, it might be some... Remember how I was saying... You were saying, like, superpowers go from, you know, grandma to granddaughter.
Yeah.
Just, like, some of the recipes. And I think maybe... these types of things, these tendencies, these cravings,
yeah,
maybe go only from mother to son.
Okay.
Not sure. So it might stop with me.
Okay. Do you, yeah, because you're not a mother. Do you, I mean, we're on that subject. Do you have other food peccadillos that you got from your mom? I mean, like, okay, let me ask you this. Scrambled eggs, ketchup or not?
I'm down with ketchup. I don't do it often anymore. And to be honest, I'm not sure if my mom does the ketchup on eggs thing. Right. I think she does, because I remember, hey, hot dog chunks in eggs. First you fry up them hot dog chunks, and then you put them in eggs, and you got to have ketchup on that.
Well, yeah.
The scrambled eggs, hot dog chunks, yeah, you got to put ketchup on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that I probably got that from my mom, too.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to think.
I think these things are genius. Again, like we're alone with the chocolate cake and milk thing, but me and my mom are a perfect team there.
Yeah. Did you ever cut up hot dogs and put it in macaroni and cheese?
Oh, hell yeah.
Or Spam?
I never tried. I'm actually just recently got into Spam.
Okay.
Like frying up Spam and putting it on a. Let me tell you, some of my favorite food is simply putting some kind of meat on some white bread and putting mayonnaise and salt on it. That's it. It's fried Spam. Wonderful. Salt, mayonnaise, white bread.
Fried
and
Spam.
Then split a hot dog in half.
Yeah.
Fry it up. Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Fried bologna. Leftover turkey.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
That's the best. You don't get any better than that. Just putting the cold turkey, mayonnaise, salt, white bread.
Yeah.
You're down with this?
Absolutely. Leftover pot roast.
I do a pork loin.
Oh, Joe.
I put a bunch of seasoning on the outside, Italian seasoning and like lemon pepper and garlic powder and stuff, and I sear it all in there.
Yeah.
And then I bake it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You've got this pork tenderloin.
Yeah.
And you do it in foil so all of the juice comes out, and you pour that juice into a little dip cup like au jus.
And then you
slice the pork tenderloin, and then you take little bites and you dip it in the au jus and eat it. Now that's the thing. You only eat half of it, and then the next day you chop up that pork tenderloin cold, put it on mayonnaise, salt on it, on white bread.
And then you're happy. And that's what being a mom is all about. It's like passing on these traditions to their kids, so that like
you're right. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm all excited about this. The leftover turkey, putting salt on it, mayonnaise, white bread. I got that from my mom.
Yeah, yeah, and it's because mom knows she's got to let you. You should fly a little birdie. You got to leave the nest, but you can always get a little a little mom hug from your random cold meat on white bread, mayonnaise, salt sandwich. It could be bacon. You just got some bacon. It could be, you know what? You went to the store and you got yourself some cold fried chicken. You brought it home and you ate the skin because you're a slob, and you got the meat there and you're just like tearing it off and laying it on that bread, and you're tearing it off and you're laying it on that bread and you're tearing it off, laying it on that bread. And the whole time you're thinking, I love you, mom. I miss you, mom. And you're tearing it off and you're laying it on that bread, and you put it together and you take a bite and you're like, oh yeah. And then you go watch a horror film because you could never do that when you're a kid because your mom would not let you. So it's the best of both worlds.
My mom didn't let me watch The Exorcist when I was 8. But I snuck into the room and saw it and have been deeply scarred ever since.
My mom
tried to protect me from that experience, but I somehow got away with it, and I hurt deeply because of it. I like the movie now, but I think it's fair to say no 8-year-old should watch
movie. No.
Speaking, for Christ's sake.
For
the name of the Christ family.
Yeah, it's for the speaking of horror films and protecting the minds of young ones, we have about 10 minutes left, and I know you got a couple of things to read. So do you want to do that?
Well, really quick, I want to do a shout out
to
my other mom, Carrie the Triple Threat Christ.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of this super funny, fond memory that I have.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear this. Okay.
We were, it was me and my dad and his wife, Triple Threat Christ.
Yeah.
And we're in this bar playing pool, having some beers. And, you know, the place is pretty packed, but it's like in the afternoon, you know, on a weekend.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in there. We're having a good time. And this guy suddenly turns around from the bar and goes, "Drinks are on me!" And everybody was super happy and, like, giving him a round of applause. But I didn't feel that way. No. I was suddenly very concerned, and I, like, broke out into a sweat. And I was, like, kind of pulling on my collar, very uncomfortable. I turn around. Everybody's happy. That includes my dad. He was like, "Hey, drinks on this fucking guy," whatever. And yeah. I looked over, though, and there's Carrie. And she seemed to feel just like I did.
Oh, okay.
She was, like, wringing her hands and, like, smiling anxiously, looking around, like, darting her eyes around. Yeah. And our eyes met. And we realized, like, does anybody realize how concerning this is? That this guy wants to buy everyone in here a beer. And I looked right at her and I said, I got close to her and I said, "Let's get the hell out of here." And then we both just broke into peals of laughter. It was like, and do you get it though?
Yeah,
do you see
absolutely.
What the concern is? What the hell is this guy gonna suddenly pull out a gun and kill everybody? Is this his last day? Like, what?
Yeah. No,
either
I get
it is really good. Maybe it's a really good thing, and he's suddenly wealthy, or he's independently wealthy and has been for a long time, and he's just in a good mood and he wants to buy everybody a drink. And I guess that's how it turned out. But Carrie and I were seriously concerned for our safety, and the safety of everybody else in that bar. And I think the fact that we were the only two that felt that way, and I wanted to flee, and that I wanted her to come with me. That was a fond memory. We laughed really hard.
That's sweet.
Maybe it was kind of nervous laughter because we didn't know what was going to happen next.
Well, you know that you two were able to connect on that. That's real nice.
My dad's wife is awesome.
She is. I can't tell you how many muscles I've pulled in my what was it?
Diaphragm?
In my I don't know how many times I've pulled my zygomaticus majors from smiling, watching Carrie and my mom drinking wine together at some Christ event. And I don't mean Jesus, I mean our family. You know, because they just...
Christ reunion?
Yeah, Christ reunion, or you know, they love wine, they love hanging out with each other. And it's funny, too, because when you said, "I'm playing pool with my dad and my stepmom," it didn't occur to me.
Say stepmom?
No, you didn't actually, but okay, just to keep this, you know, on the up and up in terms of giving everybody the facts, it didn't occur to me that that is not necessarily normal. You guys are all such good buddies and friends, and my dad and mom too. I mean, all of us, we're just cool with each other. And I think that's a very rare thing. Yeah, it's a very, very rare thing. And I know that our family, because, you know, Carrie married into it, my mom married into it. Our family was just like, yeah, you're us now, right? And, you know, good for them. Good for our family did that. But also good on Nancy and Carrie. They didn't bat an eyelash. They just fully embraced it. Yep, this is mine now, right? They didn't even hesitate. They just came in and they said, all right. You're going to make me a better person by being part of your family. I'm going to make your family better by being in the family. Let's get drunk.
Yeah. And they did. And they did make the family better.
They're
pillars of the Christ community.
They are Christ pillars. They're krillers. They're crepillars. They're caterpillars. I don't know what I'm saying. I haven't even been drinking this month. Joe, we
all
have
right, so check
7
it out,
minutes
man.
Left. Yeah. Go.
Normally, well, several times on this show, I will do what's called obscenitizing a song, where I will rewrite the lyrics to some popular song, and it will be filthy.
Yeah.
Very filthy. This time, I have mom-senitized a song.
Oh, I like it.
So, let's hear it.
Okay, let's hear it. Do I need to give it any kind of, like, It's not an... I'm just going to play it.
Hit it.
Mama used to make me chocolate birthday shoot cake. I haven't had it in so long. Shee-lee-lee. If you tried to bake this cake, you'd do it wrong. Shee-lee-lee. The only living person who knows how is my mom. Shee-lee-lee. Wish I was bulimic, I'd eat cake all night long.
Oh boy.
Sheet cake. Mom could show you how to make it, but she'd have to kill you. It's a family secret, don't you know? Sheet. The recipe created 1,000 years ago. Sheet. I don't even really chew, I just swallow. Sheet. Can't stop cramming this cake in my cake hole.
That was so nice, Joe.
isn't that sweet?
Yeah, it was sweet. And when the chorus is about to come up, and like I know the song, and so I was just imagining how it was going to sound, and I was just so delighted. It was just so good. You got
that's
skills,
for you,
son.
Mom. The sheet cake is so good that
you wish you were bulimic.
I eat it until I puke. I wish I was bulimic so I could just keep stuffing it in my cake hole.
So you decided to do that, which is brilliant, and massive kudos to you. You decided not to do, kitten ties. Is that the word? Kitten ties, Rage Against the Machines, Testify.
I really liked your idea that I do Rage Against the Machine and I talk about fluffy kitties.
Yeah,
that just made me laugh, and I did kind of dive into that and try it, and yeah. I realized it was going to take too much time. And then I realized I should get, like, a song from the 80s.
Yeah.
That my mom would know. I don't think my mom knows about Rage Against the Machine. And I decided, hey, let's write a song about mom's cake.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. It's kind of the theme of the show. I mean, it's sort of been about moms. It's sort of been about food. But you've brought it up in three different contexts, the sheet cake, so... I mean, you could say that, like, I think you wouldn't be out of line to say that sheet cake is the mom of cakes.
Well, and, I'd say we've come full circle, but the sheet cake is not circular.
No, it's square.
It is rectangular.
Yeah, we've come full rectangle on the sheet cake. Yeah, so
I'd like to end off the show by just saying Happy Mother's Day to a bunch of mothers that we know. How do you feel about that?
You know, I was thinking about all of the women I know who are parents or mothers, and yeah, I think that would be a good idea to do that.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're just going to I'm not going to steal your thunder because there's one mom we both know, and she's just all by herself, not even her momness. Without even her momness, she's an amazing person. And the fact that she's also a mom. I mean, I'm not saying that I wish I was a middle school girl living in California. But if I was, I know who I'd want my mom to be. So I hope she's on your list.
Isn't that sweet? Well, I know that you know that I know that she knows that that's who we're talking about. Yeah. So just go for it. Do the honors.
Are we going to do this now? We'll tell you what. We'll do it. through the outro. How about that? We got 40 seconds to go, and we'll we'll do the mom's out, the mom shout out. So, last 30 seconds. What else do we want to say about any mother thing or food thing or?
Well, I want to say I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to go and see LP, and I are going to go and hang out with Simply Susan.
Yeah.
On Mother's Day.
That's nice.
That's we get to spend the day with her. I'm really looking forward to that.
Can you give her a
cool? A lot of times we'll take a hike. I think we're going to hike, and that's always nice.
Yeah,
it's going to be a great Sunday.
Can you give her a hug from me, her son-in-law from another mother, but the same? That doesn't really work, does it?
I will give her a hug for you.
All right.
No, you have met her before.
Oh yeah, but at your wedding.
She would recognize you.
Nah, I'm not very memorable. But okay, so good show today, Joe. Happy Mother's Day to Nancy Christ.
Yep. Well, happy Mother's Day to Karen, Joe Mama Michaels.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, Allison Christ.
I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to Carrie Christ, Cece,
yeah,
the triple threat. Happy Mother's Day, Carrie. I love you.
I'm going to say happy Mother's Day to my son's maternal grandmother, Goody. Happy Mother's Day, Goody.
Happy Mother's Day, Goody. And happy Mother's Day, of course, to Simply Susan.
Yeah.
And real quick, a happy Mother's Day to Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to kind of put some of these together. Happy Mother's Day to my sister-in-law. Happy Mother's Day to my cousin's just had a baby's wife. I'm not going to say names because it's just, you know, but happy Mother's Day to you. I'll just call her K because her name starts with a K. I'm going to call her K Mafia. Okay, so now she's got a name. K Mafia, happy Mother's Day.
I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to Jess, the mother of my godson in Colorado.
Does that make her your god baby mama?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, Jess.
All right. Happy Mother's Day, Jody. Happy Mother's Day, Rupal. Happy Mother's Day, Kelly. Jump in and start listing yours as well. Yeah.
I've got happy Mother's Day, Kelly, in Colorado. Happy Mother's Day, Heather. I was in a band with Heather.
Oh,
she's
nice.
A very talented singer. Yeah. That's Heather in Chicago.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Claire, Amanda, and Liz from our Peps group. Happy Mother's Day. Y'all some good moms right there. Your kids are cute. Peps is a parenting support group, essentially, for new parents in Seattle, Texas. Sorry. Good.
Well, I'm going to say happy Mother's Day to LP Christ because she is the mother of Jesus Barking Christ.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really is. He is kind of like our kid.
Yeah.
Except he's not as smart as a human child.
I bet you he's as... This is not a show about kids. We'll do that another episode. let's see. Happy Mother's Day to Katy Perry's mom. Thanks for that one. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, and Ariana Grande, of course. She's not a mom, but I don't care. I just like saying her name.
Well, you know what? And I hope we're not missing anybody.
Oh, I'm sure we are. We're jerks. We can't remember anything,
Last but not least, happy Mother's Day to Shags. We miss you, Shags.
Yeah. Shags is... Listen up, all you people out there who potentially will be a mother someday. You can take a few notes from Shags. Because she's noteworthy. See what I did there? Yeah. All right. Minute left in the song, Joe. I'm going to go on mute and cry. You give us the shout when it's appropriate. And folks, next show will not be nearly this mom-friendly. Just basically warning the moms, if nothing else. All right, bye-bye.
Chocolate birthday sheet cake!